So lots to get into, man. I appreciate the time and more importantly, getting back together and reuniting. Want to learn all about the brilliant new album and, of course, get into the whiskey show and look back and look forward a little bit. But talk to me about this reunion. When did it all start happening? Because I know it kind of started a few years back. And then I'm sure the pandemic kind of screwed up the timeline as far as getting this album out. But what was the first impetus to get the band back together again?
It was actually, I'd been working on the new record, Scissors. I'd been working on that alone for almost 6 years. I could only work 3 hours a week on the weekends just when I wasn't at, you know, my official job. So I was actually just working on the record to be kind of a, you know, I wrote the record to be the last Taproot record, you know, back in 2012. So most of the material's pretty old, but, so I was just going to release it on my own, you know, for a couple hundred or a thousand following fans that would just want to hear the songs. But, Phil, our bassist, he was kind of like, hey, no, you know, cause he knew the songs from the demos that I did years ago. And he was like, you wrote this to be Taproot's next record. So you're going to release this as Taproot and we're going to make it work. So once the record was done, then we started trying to, you know, we got the guys back together and Jared came back and we got our new guitarist Taylor and we just started planning on playing some festivals and started booking some shows through the end of the year. So it was really cool. It just went from me, you know, working on a solo record to, you know, do small time to still making it a full-on Taproot record and getting us some shows. It's been a blast.
I love it, man. And I'm especially glad, too, that Jared is back. I felt like he was a big part of the band and sound.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, I always miss the, you know, I have a lot of three-part harmonies, so it kind of sucks when I don't even have one. So at least when he's there, I get an extra harmony, and Taylor's pretty good at them, too. So we're working those out. So it's fun.
Dude, brilliant album. Exactly what I wanted. It feels like Taproot all over again. VIP, I played to death. Victim, I play. Was that one of the older songs or more of a newer track for you?
That was, honestly, I think of the 13 songs, that was one of the, I think maybe three that I wrote within the most modern years, you know, like I wrote most of that record, you know, like I said, back in 2012 to be the next Taproot record before the crap hit the fan. but no, VIP is actually one of the ones that I wrote for this record, intentionally going for that, you know, old school Taproot riff that I would have wrote, you know, for Gift, you know, I wanted it to be like Smile, you know, like the modern day version of an opening of a record.
Hell yeah, man. Cause that's exactly what it felt like. It did take me back to that first album. It was like, it felt like putting on an old pair of shoes or something. It was like, oh yeah, this is a Taproot I've been missing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, that was the intentional goal. And that one was one of the ones written for the record. Well, I mean, more recently for the record.
I also love hearing your voice and Elias Soriano of Nonpoint on Favorite Song, which feels like a little ode to radio about hearing your favorite song. But tell me about getting Elias involved in that tune. Are you guys old friends, I imagine?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, like, we've always loved Nonpoint, and he's such a really good dude, and obviously he's a great vocalist. So at the time, you know, I didn't really have a guest lined up, and I knew I wanted someone in there to kind of bring some attention for fun. And, you know, I was just asking around, like, I used to do drunk lives on my Instagram. I just go on live, you know, totally obliterated and talk to fans. And so I kept asking, and Elias was by far the most, like, you know, common, you know, people requesting. And so I just reached out to him. I was like, dude, everyone's asking for you. You want to do this? And he was like, hell yeah. And so went with it and totally happy with what he laid down. It's amazing.
Yeah, it is. It's great. And it's ironic that he's actually playing the day after you get come through SoCal. But, you know, speaking of duets on the album, I was really blown away with the one you did with Audrey Ray, who I'd never heard of before, but your voice and her voice together was just like melted butter on Love Without You.
That's cool. No, I love that too. It was, it's really cool too, cause she's like such a really good singer that actually I didn't have her come in to track. Like she was working with our, you know, her producer, Tim, which is the guy that owns the studio I work at. He just had her lay down some, you know, basic lines, and she was just doing scratch vocals, and I just ended up lining it all up so they matched. So she didn't actually come in and sing with me or anything. I just took scratch vocals that she laid down and put them with mine, and it worked out great.
Wow. Yeah, that is crazy. Yeah, because the two of your voices together is so damn good, and I would never expect, like, hey, I want to hear Stephen in a female country artist, but it worked beautifully.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. No, I mean, that's one of the songs. I actually wrote that song back in 2007, so I've been sitting on that one for a long time.
Oh, wow. That definitely sounds like a song that should be on the radio, man, but killer tune, and looking forward to hearing some of these tunes live. Your first West Coast show in over a decade, going to be at the Whiskey A Go-Go on April 24th, and I imagine you played there back in the day, right?
Oh yeah. No, we're all really excited to get back there. I think Whiskey, I mean, we've played there numerous times over the years, but I'm pretty sure the Whiskey was one of our last shows, you know, probably 10, 11 years ago before we kind of took our hiatus. So I think that's one of the last shows we played.
And then, you know, always a tough question with the new album out is the set list, and how many new ones do you work in versus classic tunes?
It's tough. I think, you know, obviously people still want to hear the old stuff, so we definitely make it a good mishmash of the old stuff. So sometimes we incorporate 4 or 5 new songs out of 16, you know, but we still get a lot of Gift and a lot of Blue Sky Research and some Welcome in there too. Screw the 4th and 5th record that most people don't know.
I love it, man. And I'm excited. I know usually Whiskey is just a million bands on the bill, but one I did want to give a shout out to is Breaking Into Sequence, which features BC, who was the original drummer from Head PE.
Oh yeah, I didn't know he was playing.
Yeah, so I thought, you bet you guys crossed
other bands, you know, for a long time. You know, Jared's one of his best friends, so that's awesome. I didn't know he was playing.
Yeah, so I just wanted to give them a shout out. I look forward to seeing him that night along with you guys. And, you know, really, this is all just kind of leading up to getting to Sick New World in Vegas shortly thereafter. And imagine when you play a festival like that, do you look at the lineup and go, oh, I can't wait to see him and say hi to him and catch up with him and see that band? Do you do that kind of thing when you get booked on a big festival like this?
Sometimes. I mean, when there are, you know, numerous days, it's more so to see, you know, what they were playing and, you know, like who we need to try to fit in with or to stand out just to, you know, kind of bring attention to ourselves. But we're playing so many different festivals with so many similar bands, it's hard to keep track of. But, you know, a couple of them are with Nonpoint, you know, but they'll be on a different day. There's a whole bunch of stuff like that. So the one in Vegas is just going to be, you know, we're going in for the day of our show and then flying home. Like, because, you know, my wife's finally coming out to the West Coast for the first time. Even though she used to work in Vegas as a roller derby professional, but so it's going to be more of like a business, like, you know, get there, we'll be there the day before, so we'll get to check out the day before and then our day, but then, you know, it's going to be back to the kids and work.
Right. Well, I'm just glad that there is a Sick New World Festival, one that kind of focuses on that, like, early 2000s, kind of the new metal era, if you want to call it that, but it shines a light on that era for sure.
Oh, and it's a great lineup, period. Like, we are so happy to be a part of it, because that's, you know, kind of, it reminds us of one of the festivals we always used to do out in Vegas. It hurts when I pee, so it's cool. And I think this one is actually kind of ran by our old management, who, like, has every great band in the world right now, you know, that's relative to us.
Right. Except... You know, thinking of like Sick New World, it really kind of takes me back to back in the day, Ozfest, which you were a part of, a few of those, man. And where the radio stations at out in the Inland Empire, kind of out where those shows took place at Glen Helen Pavilion out there. And I think you did 2 years, right? 2000 and 2001. And that one Ozfest in Glen Helen was like over 50,000 people that year.
Right. Yeah. No, it was crazy. Yeah. We did both years, and obviously it was a true pleasure playing both. And, you know, we got to know the Osborne family pretty well. And so we were kind of, you know, appreciated much by the family, and I don't know, like, it was just a lot of great bands to tour with. I mean, just to know that we got to play with Pantera every day. I mean, I saw them as a teenager probably 16 times within like 2 or 3 years, you know, so to get to play with them, and, you know, obviously Sabbath and just like all those great bands that we got to play with. Crazy Town, just joking.
Speaking of Pantera, man, have you seen the Pantera 2.0, the lineup that's out there now with Zach and Charlie playing?
No, I actually haven't. I hear it's pretty darn good. You know, it's you know, I'm still a Phil Anselmo fan, even though there was all the drama and stuff. So I would definitely be open to seeing it, but I hear it's amazing.
Yeah, I saw them just do an opening set for Metallica last year, and blew me away. Just to hear those songs again live and loud like that, just warms
up. Bet. That'd be amazing.
Steven, I appreciate all the time, man. Last thing I wanted to hit you up with is, we're an old school radio station. We do a feature called Mandatory Metallica, which you're going to be a part of. And I wanted to get your pick in my little Metallica debate I've been having going on. My buddy and I got into it, like, what's the best Metallica album ever? Or more importantly, their best thrash metal album ever. And we kind of came down on opposing sides. I wanted to get your take in the debate. It's basically Ride the Lightning versus Master of Puppets. If you had to choose one out of those two, which one would be your numero uno?
As of right now, I probably have to go with Master of Puppets, just because my daughter is interested in guitar now, because on that, what's that show that
Stranger
all the teens
Things?
Like to... Yeah, the dude played the guitar solo or whatever, so I'd have to go with that. But I can't lie that I'd probably go personally with Ride the Lightning, just because of the Cliff.
Ooh, well, Cliff's on Master, too. I mean, he's on that one. He's all over that one, too.
Oh, yeah, but just, you know, the For Whom the Bell Tolls, you just can't beat that bass line.
But see that I come down more on the Master side, because I don't think I've ever run to like turn up Trapped Under Ice or Escape, you know, on my radio, where like Master of Puppets, I kind of just set and forget.
Well, that's the weird thing for me, is I grew up a drummer, and I wasn't really into Metallica. I had to work backwards, because, you know, I ended up getting into them with And Justice. So that would be my favorite one. And then I had to work my way back. So, like, you know, for me as a drummer, you know, obviously the song One kind of was a game changer for a drummer, you know, the double kicks and all that. So,
oh, yeah,
that's my go to record.
Even though despite the lack of bass on that record.
Yeah, I mean, I was a drummer, so I, you know, I didn't pay attention to anything else except Lars, thinking that he was a really good drummer.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm the same way. It came in on Injustice and then worked my way backwards and forward. I'd say Master's my favorite album, but Blackened might be my favorite song.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah, you can't beat that. You know, I think Harvester of Sorrow is one of mine.
See, that leads to my next question. I was going to say, is there a tune we can play for you on Mandatory Metallica? Would it be Harvester?
That sounds great to me.
Beautiful, man. Thank you so much for the time, and truly for coming back and putting out a brilliant album. Can't wait for the show at the Whiskey, and hopefully I'll get a chance to say hi to you there.
Okay, yeah, you're coming out?
Yeah, I'll for sure be there. I'll be with Shauna that night, so hopefully we'll get to say hi.
Awesome. Yeah, please do. I appreciate you having me.
Thank you so much, and best travels. Best of luck with the tour and album and everything, man. Thanks for the time.
All right. No, thank you. See you in a month.
All right. See you then. Bye-bye.
See you, Mike. Bye-bye.
Dude, you absolutely rock. Thank you so much for checking out the entire interview. Now just hit subscribe. Subscribe to the podcast, Radioactive Mike Z. My interviews in their entirety, available on all the major platforms, TuneIn, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, whatever you're listening to right now, just hit the subscribe button. Make sure to give me a follow on the socials as well. I'll follow you back at MikeZ967. And bro, don't miss the radio show. Now 10 p.m. to midnight on 96.7 KCAL Rocks in the Southern California Inland Empire area, Riverside, San Bernardino County. Always streaming on live at kcalfm.com. You, my friend, absolutely rock. Dude, you absolutely rock. Thank you so much for checking out the entire interview. Now just hit subscribe. Subscribe to the podcast, Radioactive Mike Z. My interviews in their entirety, available on all the major platforms. TuneIn, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, whatever you're listening to right now. Just hit the subscribe button. Make sure to give me a follow on the socials as well. I'll follow you back at MikeZ967. And bro, don't miss the radio show. Now 10 p.m. to midnight on 96.7 KCAL Rocks in the Southern California Inland Empire area, Riverside, San Bernardino County. Always streaming on live at KCALFM.com. You, my friend, absolutely rock.